I'm Jane Vernon. I live in Shepherd's Bush in West London. I live on my own. I'm by training a barrister, although I'm not currently practising, and I was previously legal officer at RNIB 15 years ago now, but I had to leave work due to some other health problems. You know, I had a breakdown, and I'd had a problem with depression for many years, but it was I was then eventually diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And once I got onto the right medication for that, things have been a lot better, but obviously not quite at the point where I can kind of go back to work. And I don't think it's probably an ideal job for somebody with a mood disorder, because when I won a case, it was fantastic. And when I lost, I'd go home and cry for 4 days. So I don't think actually it was an ideal situation. So currently I do a lot of volunteering. I'm very involved with my local Labour Party and vice chair and disability officer for my local branch, and a delegate to our general committee for the constituency. Also involved with Extinction Rebellion and Palestine Solidarity Campaign.
Give me an idea of what a typical week would look like in your world, Jane.
I spend Monday through to Friday on my own. I see my boyfriend over the weekend. He works from home, so he usually comes over to me because by then he's climbing the walls and wants to get out of the flat. So I'm on my own for sort of 5 out of 7 days. Obviously, I'm most free during the day because most of the meetings I'm involved with are in the evening. And it's not unusual for me to have a week with 3 different committee meetings. So in terms of hobbies, the rest of the time I read a lot. I think I'm on the 25th book I've read this year. My other love, which I haven't mentioned, is perfume, and I do some online reviews on various fragrance websites.
So how has your life changed since the Prime Minister announced the lockdown?
Well, the first couple of days it didn't really have any impact on me, because about nearly 2 weeks ago now, I woke up and I had absolutely lost my voice. I had incredibly sore throat, felt really ill, and it was the second time that this had happened in 3 weeks. And so I was a bit concerned. I didn't think I had the virus, because actually, although I felt really ill, I didn't have a fever. So the first couple of days under lockdown didn't make any difference, because I would have still been self-isolating anyway.
When you go out, how are you going to feel about the possibility of needing to be guided?
I'm quite apprehensive about that, because I suspect I might be absolutely wrong, but I think people will be absolutely within their right to be less comfortable about doing that. So I think certainly in a supermarket, I'm just going to go in and say, look, I have a list of things. Do you want to write that down, rather than guiding me around the store and coming round with you? Because, you know, you're not keeping 2 metres away from that person. That's a piece of string or something to hang on to behind them. You can't do that when you're being guided. So I'm very conscious of staff not having to endanger themselves. So I am going to try and find a way of working around that. I thought maybe with my local co-op, I would ring them first and say, look, you know, do you want to take down the list? When would be a good time for me to come in and get this?
Given that, with the exception of maybe a couple of outings for shopping, you are going to be more or less self-isolating, how are you going to occupy your time?
I mean, it won't really, other than not having committee meetings, it won't really be that different, because I tend to be at home during the day. And I can't remember how many online book groups I've now joined. A number of WhatsApp groups that I'm in that over the last week or so have become very active, because obviously people are around more in the day. And as I say, I read a great deal.
You mentioned that you normally see your boyfriend at the weekend. How are you going to manage not seeing him? Because I'm guessing he's self-isolating, or at least observing the lockdown.
He is, he's diabetic, so he's self-isolating and has to take that very seriously. I talk to him pretty much every day on the phone, and he's having the same problems with shopping as everyone else and really shouldn't be going out, but it, you know, he's been left with no option because he can't get a delivery slot.
How are you coping with not actually being face-to-face, seeing each other actually in the flesh?
I think that will get more difficult. I think at the moment, you know, it's only about 10 days and the whole kind of novelty of the situation in that, you know, it's so strange and so much going on and has kind of, you know, you think, oh, it's a bit weird. But I think as things go on, it will get more and more difficult.
Feel free not to answer this one if you don't want to. But as you think about the lockdown and the large-scale isolation that we're all experiencing, what impact do you think it will have on your mental health?
Oddly enough, I'm not too worried about that. I think because I spend a lot of time on my own anyway, and last week, as I say, I had a very bad week and was very tearful and really, really struggling to get stuff done. I'm a fairly solitary person, you know, I very much live in my head. And I don't think, in terms of, you know, being somebody with long-term mental health problems, that it's going to make that much difference. I have to say, last week when I was really feeling awful and I thought, you know, everyone's talking about mental health and isolation and I'm having a full-on kind of mental health crisis. And if I think my concern is if I did need help, the health service is in, you know, under such pressure at the moment, it's almost difficult to be ill with anything else. I mean, it's what I found last week with when I'd been told to ring my GP surgery and get to speak to a doctor, and the receptionist was actually really rude to me and said, oh, it's just a sore throat then. And I said, well, actually, the person I spoke to from 111 said I did need to ring and speak to somebody. And the GP I got through to obviously didn't think it was just a sore throat because she prescribed antibiotics. And, you know, we know how loath they are to do that these days, and rightly so. So it's, I think for me, it's the idea if I did have a crisis, what help would be available, rather than that I'm actually finding that I'm finding being on my own particularly depressing at the moment. I mean, we're not long into this.
Okay, well, kind of nearing the final question, I guess. Have you found any little tricks for surviving the lockdown that maybe would be of use to other visually impaired people? Have you come across any websites or any little services or anything like that that you think, yeah, you know, blind people might really benefit from that?
Other than increased use of things like WhatsApp and a lot of fun posts on Facebook where, you know, people are doing a lot of those quizzes of, you know, cut and paste this to your timeline and fill it in with your own answers and sending around kind of comedy things. And, you know, so I found social media kind of quite fun.
You said you're quite a solitary person. Are you tempted to join any groups of people talking to each other on these various conferencing apps that people are using now?
Yes, I think I might. I need to look into that because I've used things like Zoom in the past for joining with training sessions for the Labour Party and XR, but I haven't used it for sort of conference calling. And I know people on the Chorley Wood WhatsApp group are kind of talking about getting together for calls on there. So I think that'll be really nice.
Final question then. 12 weeks hence, 15 weeks hence, hopefully the lockdown's over. will you have survived?
Whether civilization will have done, I don't know. I think we'll probably all emerge to quite a different world. But no, I mean, we'll get through this. And it is absolutely essential that people do stick by the rules. You know, this, we're a democracy. This hasn't been introduced lightly. And, you know, the fact that people are still not doing that makes me really angry.